Thank you, Brother Frank, and I'm happy to be here as well. It feels like, I don't know exactly how long it's been, but it feels like a while, and it just feels good to be back here again this morning. I was blessed by the sharing time. If I remember correctly, that was something you started not that long ago, and I just sat here and was just blessed to hear individuals sharing their testimony of what God's been doing, and prayer requests as well of how we can intercede for each other in what we're experiencing. My message this morning is entitled Living with Purpose. It is taken out of Daniel, the first chapter, and it is a very familiar story. Probably most of the children who are school age or older could tell you a good part of the story. And yet, there's things there that are not superficial. There's things about Daniel that really grab our attention if we look at it. When you get up every morning, when you get up each morning, do you think about living the day with purpose? If so, what purpose? And I ask these questions to myself as well. Do I think every day about living the day with purpose? Now, it's pretty easy for us men to think about what we're going to get done that day. We have no problem at all having some purpose for going to work and what we're going to accomplish. And sometimes that works and sometimes not as well. But more than that, what is my purpose that I approach the day with? And as we look at Daniel this morning, we're going to see that phrase used. He purposed in his heart. He lived the day with purpose. He approached life with purpose. It would be fair for us to ask the question, did he live this way before he was in captivity? Or did he live this way because he was in captivity? And I can't answer that. I don't know that answer. What I can tell you, I can't tell you if he lived that way before captivity or if he developed that during captivity. But what I can tell you, because this we have proof for, he lived his life from this point on. This is how Daniel lived his life. That's why we have the book of Daniel. That's why we have the Bible stories that we look at time and again about Daniel. He lived his life with purpose. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and in knowledge and in understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Whatever good life Daniel had experienced up until now, it was going to end. I don't know what life Daniel experienced. We know because of the facts surrounding it, that at this point in time, the kingdom was in decline. They had turned from God. God brought Nebuchadnezzar there simply to punish them because they had left God. How that affected Daniel's family, we don't really know. Where they were in that, we don't know. What we do know is he was probably somewhere between 15 and 20 years old at the time. I can only imagine what he felt being carried off to Babylon. I don't think, he certainly probably didn't know their intent. I don't know what was going through his mind. Little could he know that probably his day-to-day existence was going to turn from bad to better. He had no way of knowing that. He probably thought it was going to turn from bad to worse. And it wasn't all good. He didn't know any more than we do what God's intent was. He was blessed and fortunate by the fact that others were taken, so he wasn't alone. But again, it wasn't desirable. This was not something to be desired. Probably very likely, if he could have his choice, he would have chose to stay right there with the people. And I have to ask this question because it does apply to us. We look at Daniel's options to be carried off to Babylon or stay here with the remnant of the people that was left. And our choice would be to stay. I don't think any of us would be raising our hand, volunteering, carry me off, carry me off. And yet, what would be different about the book of Daniel if he had stayed? And I'm asking a rhetorical question that can't be answered. We don't know. God may have used him there, but God had big plans for Daniel, and we're still talking about him today. Little Daniel, young man, carried off to Babylon, not knowing what the future holds. God had a plan, and we're going to come back to that at the very end of this chapter. God has a plan for me and you today as well. We don't know what that is any more than Daniel did. But we can choose how we respond, and let's look at how Daniel responded. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank to nourish them 3 years, that at the end they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So they took them there, they changed their names, they fed them the king's meat. I don't think this was actually a bad thing as far as how it tasted and how enjoyable it was. But that didn't sit well with Daniel. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here in verse 8, we begin to see the young man's character. Why did Daniel purpose in his heart? Was he living for the Lord before this? Did he come to live for the Lord because of his experience of being carried into captivity? I don't know. I don't know what his intent was. What we do know is we know he was willing to say no to something pleasant and reach out for something unknown. We throw this phrase around very lightly that Daniel purposed in his heart. Like, it's a really great thing. Well, it is a really great thing, but it's not without consequence. When we purpose in our heart for something, it's not without consequence. And I believe Daniel considered both what he purposed and possibly what the consequences were going to be. But his motive was that he not defile himself with the king's meat. That God would not see him as uncommitted or soiled. I'm saying a little different there than defile. But his desire was that God wouldn't view him as an uncommitted person or a soiled person as God looked at him. They were all in this together. There wasn't a group of people watching them to see how uprightly they walked, what they did. Did they eat the king's meat? Didn't they? It was about Daniel and God, not Daniel and others. And I say that to say this. It's really easy for me, and I assume for you as well, when we're in the spotlight, we're in the eyes of people, to purpose to do the right thing. Somebody's watching. If I don't do the right thing, then I'll get a bad reputation or they'll think less of me. But it's an entirely different thing when nobody can see, nobody will know, and it won't hurt my reputation if I purpose in my heart not to be soiled in God's sight. That's what Daniel did. We're sometimes tempted to live that way publicly and yet allow ourselves a back door where we're not living that way. We're not living with that resolve. You know, we hear this. And I'm going to make some excuses for Daniel. You know, the king said he has to eat this food. Who is he to resist it? And if I don't eat it, the king may decide to kill me for disobedience. It may cost my life. We have these excuses, these reasons, these logical sounding reasons why we don't need a purpose not to be soiled. The question I have for myself and for you is, what's my resolve measured like? We could say Daniel resolved in his heart just as well as purpose. They mean very similar things. He was resolved that he was going to do this regardless of the cost. Let's move on. Verse 9. Now God brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. There was a relationship here. There was something here going on. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse than the children which are of your sort? Then ye shall make me endanger my head to the king. So, plain English, if you look any worse than the others, the king's going to kill me. I'm going to be held accountable. The point I want you to get is there was a relationship between Daniel and this prince. The prince wanted to honor Daniel's request. He really wanted to, but he was afraid. He lacked faith. And I'm not being critical. He wasn't a believer in Daniel's God. Because of the relationship, he wanted to, but he didn't. But it don't stop there. Then Daniel said unto Belshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel. Now he's going down one level. He talked to the boss. And the boss said, no, I can't do that. I'm afraid of the king. I'm afraid what it's going to cost. So now he comes down to the manager. He says, Then Daniel said to Belshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our counsels be looked upon before thee, and the counsel of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, as you see fit, as you see it, deal with thy servants. So he consented with them on the matter. See the relationship. See what Daniel's doing. Daniel purposed in his heart to do this. But it wasn't without cost to these other two men who were over him. He wasn't just risking his life, he was risking their lives. And Daniel cared enough about those men to not do that. He didn't want them to lose their lives. That wasn't his goal. He wasn't out to prove who Daniel is and he's this great person. He was out to prove who his God is, but not at the cost of someone else. He was willing to put himself on the line, but he wasn't willing to put the other two on the line. But because of his relationship with Belshazzar, he agreed to try it. Sure, I'll do it for 10 days. And then Daniel didn't say, let us decide. He said, after 10 days, you decide. And whatever you say, that's what we'll do. And I'm paraphrasing it into English, but that's literally what he said. He put himself in God and the other's hands. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Question here for you. What came first? God's power or Daniel's faith and trust in God's faithfulness? We don't know everything that happened in Daniel's life up to this point, but as far as we know, Daniel had no reason to believe, no factual reason to believe that this was going to work out. But when Daniel gave God a reason to prove that he is God, God was delighted to pick it up and take advantage of it. I think that principle still works today, brothers and sisters. God is God. He can do whatever he wants. But God delights when his people, in their faith, give him the opportunity to do the amazing. He delights in that. That glorifies him. That brings him honor. He's recognized as God. And Daniel did just that here. Daniel found favor in the sight of his boss and his manager, I'm going to say. That was God's work. That was God's work on Daniel's behalf. And I'm not saying that Daniel wasn't a person who was attractive and was easy to find favor, but God was working in those relationships, preparing the way. But it was Daniel's courage and faith that opened the door wide open for God to show who he was and to bring him himself glory. Now, I believe Daniel worked in the life, I'm going to use the word guard or manager. I believe Daniel worked in that day-to-day I believe God worked in that day-to-day relationship between Daniel and him. And he had good influence. And I believe God worked in his mind. But I believe who Daniel was also part of that. And I'm saying that to say that it matters who we are and how we represent God and how we live our lives and how we interact with those around us. It's pretty plain to see in the text that it don't use a word that Daniel loved them and they loved Daniel, but that's what we see. We see a relationship where there was mutual respect and care and concern and love, if you want to use that word, between the guards, the managers, and Daniel. And probably the others as well. Daniel didn't throw a temper tantrum. He didn't say, I'm not going to eat this food. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to. No, rather, he used his influence and relationships. He did it God's way. And he asked. He never said, I'm not going to. Nowhere in this does say, I'm not going to do this. You know, we can show our purpose sometimes by saying that. Or we say we can. But rather, he said, could I? Would this be possible? Would I be allowed? And it changed how he was perceived. So I believe God worked in the guards, managers, heart, mind, but I believe he also worked through Daniel, through that day-to-day channel. And part of it was because Daniel really cared about them and honored them and protected them, really. You could say Daniel protected them when they were fearful. He didn't push the point. He cared about them and protected them. So after 10 days, when they looked better than all the others, Melzar, the guard, manager, whoever he was, took away all the portion of the king's meat and wine, and he gave them what they wanted, water and vegetables. Pulses, vegetables. Water and vegetables, what they had for 3 years. And for all that time, they learned everything there was to learn about Babylon. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, talked with them, questioned them, I would say. And among them was all was found none like Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. So, again, putting it in plain English, they came before the king, they were questioned. Says they stood before the king. That don't mean that day. What it's really saying is, after the king questioned them, they were so good, he didn't ever want them to go away from the palace. He wanted them there all the time so that when he had a question, he could run it by them. That's what it's saying. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So, a little bit going back to God's work. So, after 3 years of learning the language and everything else they were to learn, they were 10 times smarter than anybody else. Now, remember, they took the smartest and the best people they could find. They were already smart. They took of the best. Again, the point I'm making with saying this is that simply this. God glories in taking what we give him and magnifying it for his glory. Do you think What do you think Nebuchadnezzar was thinking? Like, when was the last time that you heard of a world government asking their captives from a nation they took captive about how they should run the country and answer all the hardest questions there were? When was the last time you read that in a book somewhere? Like, they don't even write novels about such stuff because it don't make sense. It don't happen that way. That's not what we do. They could be traitors. They could get bad information. Here we have the most powerful king in the world, and in today's society, it'd be equivalent to the president of the United States asking somebody from China or North Korea to give him advice. That's what it'd be like. God is at work. But it all started with their faith. And Daniel singled out here. But I believe all the others, because they all turn out the same, shared Daniel's faith. It all started with their faith. Their willingness to give God an opportunity. Now that sounds pretty easy. But what is my willingness to give God an opportunity? What would it cost me? Is it as great as the Bible story about Daniel then, when it's my neck on the block? But their willingness to give God an opportunity brought them to this place. They're 10 times smarter than anybody else, and they stayed in the king's palace. Now, I told you I'm going to come back to this point probably. The verse ends here, and this very last verse, and Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Like, if you don't know your history and you haven't studied it, that don't sound like a really big deal. That was actually about 70 years. And there was a number of kings in between there. And the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, close as we can tell, and you can preach a lot out of the next couple chapters of Daniel, close as we can tell, Daniel never left that palace or the king's servanthood. Daniel was always one level below whoever the ruler was. Kings came and kings went. Other kings wiped out their predecessors, their enemies. Guess what? Daniel was right there below the king with the next guy. It don't happen that way. That's not the way governments and worlds work. But it is the way God works. There's one key in all this, and we see it here, and I'm going to go back to that in closing. Daniel purposed in his heart, and he lived with purpose. But Daniel's purpose all throughout his life was never to see how far up the totem pole Daniel can get and how much honor and glory he can get. His purpose always was, how big can I make God? How can I manifest God to everybody that's around me? How big can I make God? That was his purpose. He did it every time. If you look at when he reveals the visions and the dreams, he don't ever say, here, let me tell you what this is. He says, God has shown me, or there is a God in heaven that reveals. He always makes God great. That was his purpose. His purpose was to make God great. His purpose wasn't really about Daniel. Now, did he enjoy some things? Back to where I raised the question earlier, you know, if he had stayed back there in his homeland, would he have got to live the life he lived? Absolutely not. He wouldn't have lived in the king's palaces. He wouldn't have been one level below the king. He wouldn't have been giving king's advice. He wouldn't have did any of that. His life would have been radically different. But bigger than that, what we see God do through him and his availability, we wouldn't have that story either. It's not Daniel's story that we're looking at. It's God's story. But Daniel is making himself available for God to make himself great and known. And today, that's where we live. Our purpose, what we should be purposing is, how do I live such a life that I make God great and that I give God opportunity? God don't demand opportunity from us. That's our choice. But when we give him opportunity, he readily will take advantage of it and use it. Because God is about making God great and glorifying himself and showing himself that he is God. God wants to show today that there is a God amongst his people. And he gives us the opportunity as his people to give him that opportunity to make himself great. We hold Daniel up as this great man, and he was. Daniel was a type of Christ. He is a giant in men of faith. But at the end of the day, Daniel was just a man. He's just a man, just like we're just men and women. That's all he was. There's nothing special about him. He wasn't supernatural. He wasn't an angel. He was a man. But he was a man that lived with purpose. And in his heart, he was committed to living with purpose, not to soil himself, to make God great, to give God opportunity. And when it happened, he gave all the glory to God. When something supernatural happened, he gave the glory to God. I leave us with that challenge today. Can we live in such a way that God can make himself great, make himself known, and bring himself glory? And no, I don't expect that any of us will move in president and king circles. And yet, I would totally anticipate the same thing would have been said in Daniel's time. I don't think they would have expected that Daniel would find himself where he found himself. And then he took that opportunity to leave a testimony that we're still talking about today. I just preached a message on it, the testimony that he left. Let's live for testimonies and to give God opportunity to make himself great. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege to be gathered with brothers and sisters. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives that even enables us beyond what Daniel had to allow you to make yourself great through us. Lord, I pray that you would use us as your instruments. Pray that you would give us wisdom, give us guidance and direction. Help us to know when and how to allow you to magnify yourself and show yourself through us. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we go from here. I pray that you would raise up leaders here at Calvary. You know that need. You know our hearts. And Lord, we want to trust you and lay it before you. You have a plan. You have a purpose. I pray that we would live all our life that way, not just this particular challenge, but every challenge we face day to day, recognizing that you are God. You have a plan and a purpose. Help us to rest in that as we looked at Daniel this morning and saw Daniel exemplifying resting in that. Lord, give us the ability to rest in that as well and allow you to be God. Allow you to work through us and in us that would magnify you. Pray you would bless this body. Pray you would give us safety as we go. And I pray that you would bring this body back together again next Sunday to worship, if that is according to your purpose. Go before us, go with us, and guide us as we go throughout this week, serving you and magnifying you. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.